lì dei nasci Giuda, Benigno, Sviero, Rodrigo, David, this is a place that I come to get away from Sheker, from make-believe. I enjoy so much being together with people who I very much love, even those who I don't know. I have many chaverim here, many yidden here. First, you know, about this music. These are songs that were part of our Shabbos table 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I'm so grateful to have spoken. They're finally making their way into this room. You know, it's interesting. So there's a tape that was missing. It's called The Living Generation. Michal Shapiro, for different reasons, I don't know, he didn't want to make this tape over. And just this past week, I had the tape many times. It was a cassette. It wasn't ever put onto a CD. And I had the cassette many times. We gave it to our children, we showed it to other people. And so we never, and at some point, it was impossible to get. And it was going around this week. One of the chevron sent me from Yishalayim, A Living Generation. A whole tape of the songs. And there's one song there by itself. And Sadiq traveling to the countryside. And at one point, Sadiq cries out, "Master of all worlds, there's a pain in your world's heart." I want to thank each and every one of you for caring about the pain in the world's heart. And these last few days before the pain will finally disappear, forgiving yourself so complete, somehow in some way, taking away some of that pain. The parents were so broken and tired. To bring so much simcha zachai that's real, that's authentic, to such a broken world. So I want to share with you something from my own broken heart. Months, this time of the year, even though Tammuz began already a while ago, but now we're getting ready to enter into this time, Tammuz and Av. The Sfarim say that these 2 months of Tammuz and Av correspond to the 2 eyes that we have. There are those who explain that Av is the need of listening, and there are those who explain that Tammuz and Av are the 2 eyes, the ability to see. According to the Arizal, the Sefer HaGolem in the desert, the month of Tammuz corresponds to Ruvain. Which means to see. Many years ago, something went wrong. And on Tisha B'Av, the great tzaddikim who on their level made a mistake. They came back. And Omru Rafiya Mashalai Rahu Be'inei. They came back and they told a story that wasn't real, that wasn't accurate, that wasn't clear, that wasn't really true. Omru Rafiya Mashalai Rahu Be'inei. They said something about Eretz Yisrael, about this world that wasn't true. Their way of looking at things was distorted. Something was wrong. And as a result of that, we began to cry. Ever since that first Tisha B'Av, we haven't stopped crying. In the 2 months of Tammuz and Av, correspond to the two words, Eini, Eini, Yarda Maya. My eye is flowing with tears. And the Baruch Shalom wants us during this time of the year, more than any other time, to repair, to correct our way of seeing things, to look at each other in a real way. To look at our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents. To look at our friends. To see Eretz Yisrael. To see everything in a way that's clear, that's real. And all that we're davening for is Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuvah Hashem Tzion. Ki Ayin Ba'ayin, the right eye, the left eye. Yiru B'Shuvah Hashem Tzion. And the Zohar Kodesh says that the Jewish people in Golos, Rochli Yemeinu, the Jewish people in Golos, the Shechina, Shechinta Begelusa, the Zohar Kodesh calls Ulimta Shapirta Deleis Ba'ayin, Ulimta Shapirta Deleis Ba'ayin, which means a beautiful young woman who is beautiful in every way. But a place like Ayin means she doesn't have eyes. She doesn't have eyes to see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves her. Any time that a bracha now or a young woman comes and asks me, because they're looking for somebody to ask for brachas and they don't have any tzaddik nearby, so they ask me, and they ask me for a bracha, I always say, you should be able to see how much Baruch Hu loves you. Don't see that. Ulimta Shapirta Deleis Ba'ayin. Baruch Hu didn't see how much Yaakov Avinu loved him. The Shechina HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sipur Maisi is the story of the beggars, the blind beggar. The blind beggar saw more than everybody. He saw so much that he couldn't see this world the same way that other people looked at this world. To begin to look at the world in a new way. Not the way despised it. To begin to see the world in a new way. Here you're beginning. There's much more that needs to be done. The Rishon was Megala to us that there's one beautiful little bird in the world. This creature somehow represents perfected vision, seeing things in the right way. Says the Shir Shirim, Hinaf Yofer Ayosi, Hinaf Yofer Inayaf Yoinu. Hinaf Yofer Ayosi, my beloved, you are so beautiful. Hinach Yofer Ayosi, Hinach Yofer twice, the two eyes. Einayach Yonin, you have the eyes of a dove. Einayach Yonin. And what is it about the eyes of that particular animal, of that bird, that's so special, that's so unique? Ad kedei kach, that the greatest expression of love is einayach yomim. Inach yofer rayos, kalash einayach yofos. Inach yofer rayos, einayach yomim. So Chazal tell us, yoinazu, this bird, Shosh Makeres Es Ben Zuga, from the time that her eyes met with her mate, from the time that they fell in love, the Zachan and the Keva, those two birds, the male and female, Einem Amira Ba'ach. Listen, no matter what happens, Einem Amira Ba'achir shall never, ever, ever exchange the one that she loves for anyone else. He'll never, ever look at anyone else, at any other yoma. They're devoted to each other in such a way that they can't see any others. Kachisa. Mishor Shehekira, from the time that the Jewish people were Maki, that the Rebbe himself spoke to us from Hasina. Ata Hares Ladas, and he showed us, we saw something there at Hasina, that even a Jew who thinks that he's so far away, in truth, in the deepest, deepest way, Ein Amira is not able to give up. HaKadosh Baruch to look anywhere else. Shenema Hinach Yofer Ayasi Einayach Yoinu. And as a result of that way of seeing, the Medrash says, Ma Yoinazu Poshetes Tzavara L'Shchita. Other birds, when it comes time for them to be shechted, to be slaughtered, they fight, they struggle, they resist. But when it comes to the youngest time to be brought as an offering, Peshetta says Tzavara, she stretches her neck to prepare for the Shechita. Af Yisrael, So too it is with Hashem's kala, with Hashem's bride, with Hashem's mate. Shenema ke'alefa hayragnu kol hayon. That for your sake we have been killed and slaughtered all day long throughout all of history. For your sake, only you. Only for you we've been shechted, only because of you. Because we've never taken our eyes off of you. We've never ever left you. We'll never give up. That love. And thousands and millions of times Jews have stretched their necks and have been shechted al kiddush Hashem. Alef haharag no kal hayom. See, here's the avodah. Just last week, 2 weeks, it's been 2 weeks, it was about to be the other side. So, see you later, I'll call you soon. And there's a letter that Lubavitcher wrote to a chassan to give him some chizuk to prepare for the chassan. And in the letter, the Rebbe explains the nusach that we have in the Tanoim that nowadays are read by the Kabbalah's Ponim by the chassan. It says over there about the Chosin and Kala, the two sides. Al Yavichu va'alimu. Al Yavichu va'al Ya'alimu. Lo Yizum Yizel, Lo Yizem Yizum. Al Yavichu va'alimu on a simple level means that nobody's hiding anything. Lahavriach means to hide something, to sneak something away. Al Ya'alimu also a lashon of Ha'alona, which means to hide something. This whole world. It's called the unveiling of a world because it's a world of concealment. So it says the Tanoim Ayavichva Alima, Yizum Yizel, Yizem Yizum, so Isis Mezuzah, Yichud. Yaduru, Beinehem, Yahava, Bechiba, Ka'ara, Kol'ara. And that you shall live together with great love, like two yayin. Never take your eyes off each other. Al yavichu v'yalim. So Lavatri says a gewaltig thing, listen carefully. All future chassanim and kalas. And all the old chassanim and kalas. Only a vehicle by Yalim. The Baruch and the creator of the world made this entire world in a way of Yavichu v'Yalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most hidden. Achein ato kel misdad. Hashem is the most hidden. He's called Bocher Ka'arozen. He's the Chosen. But the word Bocher is the same Oisius as Boreach. I've met some Chassadim who actually ran away. Before the Chuppah, after the Chassan. Rabbi Shalom, your error husband, Knesset sells your cow. But you made the world in such a way where you were Boreach. It seems to us that you've disappeared. We don't see. We believe in you. But we don't see. And we oftentimes don't see your love for us. Because Baruch Hu is Boreach. And in order for him to create the world, of course, he had to be Metzamtzem, had to constrict his infinite light. So we would be able to have that choice to want him, to look for him. To believe in it. So the whole creation took place in the way of Havracha, of Hashem being Boreach, being Mavriach himself, hiding himself. You know the word Laha'alim, to hide. A few moments ago I told you that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Jewish people are called an Olimta Shapir to a beautiful young woman. An Alma means a young woman. So listen, the Rebbe says, it says, Al Yavichu Vayalim. Hashem made the world in such a way. It's Ki'ilu Shlu Barach. It's Ki'ilu he's not here. There's such a hest upon him. But this Tzaddik was taken away by a wave in the ocean last week. We're asking Baruch Shalom, Lo Lefroach, Lo Lehitalei. You understand what I'm saying, right? Lo Lefroach, Lo Lehitalei. The whole world was created in such a way of Havroche and Ha'alom. And our job is to fill the world with Hashem's Baruch's light. So the Rebbe writes to this Chassan in Kabbalah, Al Yavichu Vayalimu, you the Bocher Achassan, Bocher is the Oasis, Bocher to choose. Make the choice, Lo Bevroch, Lo Lahafriach, not to hide from your Kabbalah. Not to hide from your wife. You know how many men these days are keeping secrets from their wives? Their phones know the secrets. The British all knows the secrets. You bocher, don't be bereach. Don't run away from your wife. Keep your eyes steady. Keep your eyes locked upon her eyes. Be like the Yonah. Hinaf Yofer Ayosi. Hinaf Yofer. Einayach Yom. You have the eyes of a dove. Never ever to look anywhere else. When you go to work. When you go in the street. Al Yavrichu Vayalim. Don't hide. But it's not only that. The Rebbe said to this chassan, you have so many kaiches. You have such unbelievable potential, such kaiches. Don't hide. Now that you're getting married, you're bringing these kaiches out into the world. Your wife will help. Your husband will help to bring out the kaiches. It's the same thing with the Kala. You're a beautiful young woman, an alma. Al yalimu, don't hide who you are. Don't get lost in smallness and silliness. Don't bury yourself in Narishtan. Don't chalila turn your eyes away from your husband. Al yavrichu v'ayalim. Lozu mizel, lezev yizuz, mezuzah. Mezuzah means that every time a Jew walks into his house to remember who he is and why he's in this world, and you touch the mezuzah and you kiss the mezuzah, and you remember Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And you remember that in this home, my wife, my children, my husband, my children, my life, my sorrow. In this house, everything is clear. The world outside, things can become very confusing. Could be Zu, Mizeh, Zem, Yizu. People could move away from each other. The word lazuz. They could move away from each other, Khalil. And then when you leave the house in the morning and you touch the mezuzah to remember that wherever you go during the day, don't budge. Don't take your eyes off your husband, off your wife, off your kids. Don't take your eyes off the Bari Erlam. Hinaf Yofer Ayosi. Hinaf Yofer Inayach Yayim. You know, the first creature that Hashem sent out into the world was the Yairi. Because when Noah sent the Orev came back. We don't say, it doesn't say that the Yairi or the Raven, it doesn't say the word Liros. Because the Orev, that bird, represents confusion, Irbuvia, Taruvis. It represents the world. It represents moving away from that clarity. It means running away, it means hiding. The first time it says, it's by the Yonah, it says, Vayishlach Noach as a Yonah, Liros, Akalu Amayim, he sent the Yonah to see if the waters of the flood had receded. So the first accurate report, not like the Quran, the first true way of seeing, is the Yom. Hinach Yofer Ayos, Hinach Yofer Einayach Yom. saying to us, especially this time of the year? I want you to be careful. Koyden Kol, I want you to be careful with your eyes. I'm not only talking to the male guys here. And the Inyan of Shmiras Ha'inayim, to guarding, the Inyan of guarding one's eyes. It's true that the Nekevus, these guys, on this side of the Mechitza, don't have the same Nisyanis of Shmiras Ha'inayim that the Zohar has, the Zecharim have. But the Nisyanis that you have of looking at things, seeing people in a negative way, looking down, seeing things in an exaggerated, inaccurate, distorted way, is just as much as anybody else as the Zecharim. Eyes that are envious, eyes that are shallow, eyes that spend their whole lives scrolling up and down, silly chats and talking about other people's lives, forgetting what it means to have eyes that are holy, looking at things, images, pictures, magazines, whatever it might be. Most of all, to be able to see how much Baruch Hu loves each and every one of you. If you're looking at Hashem's Baruch's children over here in camp with such eyes, that other people look at them and become uncomfortable, other people look at them and they're bereach, and they're alarmed, but you don't run away. You're able to look at these children in the eyes. To see the nefesh of the kids, chilek olakomi ma'al man. So you know how we get back to Yerushalayim. Sof kol sof, that's what we're talking about now. I once told you a story, I think I told it to you here a few years ago. I don't remember. If only gone sluicing your layman. He really never left his house, his place where he lived. There was a mikveh next door, and his talmidim came. He davened with him and they learned with him. He stayed completely away from the world, from the street. But it's well known that the only time that the Goyim would go out, really in public, besides it was Torah at certain times, Yom Tov, the only time that he would go out to be amongst us was that Vilna Gaon had a special inyan to make shidduchim between Yesayim and Yesayimus, between orphans and Golem. Guys and girls that were missing a parent or parents low alayim. Vilna Gaon had an inyan to make these shidduchim. And by those chasnas, the Goyim would go himself to be Masad the Kiddush. So you can imagine the Goyim came to Masad the Kiddush and the whole Vilna would come. And Vilna wasn't a little village. So the whole Vilna came to a chasna. One night the Goyim had made a shidduch between one of the most beautiful girls in all of Vilna. Who was the asylum? Who was an orphan? The Goyim made a shidduch between her and a wonderful young man who was also a Yosef. A Yosef was the Rosh Hashanah, Yifas Tayyar, Yifas Mayer. There's a special beauty that Yosef has in Hashem's eyes.
The only thing with this Yosef, with the chassan, was that he was a saginara, which means that he wasn't able to see. Now, Chacham called such a person who was known in the world as a blind person, like a blind beggar, you have been asked in the story, one who's filled with light, one who sees so much that he doesn't look at this world. He doesn't look at the world the way other people look at the world. So to us, that person is blind. But this chassan couldn't see. This chassan was blind. And the evidence is, the truth is, that in Vilna, many people were shocked by this shidduch that the Gaon had made. The girl was a beautiful and healthy young woman. And the boy, Nabuch, couldn't see. And the girl's family tried to stop this from happening. Some relatives tried to stop this shidduch. But she insisted that if the Rebbe said that, if the Vilna Gaon said that this is my shidduch, this is my dasher, this is my zidig, my yarna, I'm going to marry her. So by the chasna, there were people who were crying from happiness, and people who were crying from confusion and sadness. And as is the custom, the chasna was taken down by some family members, and the caliban was taken down. And they were under the chuppah, and it was time for the Vilna Gaon to make the brachas. And the Vilna Gaon turned to the chassan, and he said to the chassan, who? Chazal say, also the kaddish is a isha and shiren. You can't betroth your wife, your kala, until you see her. And people couldn't believe that the Vilna Gaon could say such a thing. And the chassan was just crying, and the kaddish crying, and the Gaon said, I told you. Also, the kaddish is the isha as she ran. And the Gaon went and he bared his face and he turned into the kaddish. And the kaddish looked at him, and the Gaon put his fingers on the chassan's eyes and opened his eyes. And for the first time in his life, he was able to see. And the first face that he ever saw was his kaddish. And the Gaon said, you should know that it's not because of me. It's not because of you, it's because of your kaddish and woman. It's because of her faithfulness. That since she took her eyes off of you, she wouldn't take anybody else. Ad she'irem. So how do you get back to Yerushalayim? So it says in Novi, we're going to be laying this by the weeks of Nechemta and Pash Kisov. You know, Yerushalayim is a lashon of Riyah, of seeing. In a way of Shleimus, to see things in a clear way. Yerushalayim. Yira, which means also fear of God, but it means to see. Bahar Hashem Yerael. Bahar Hashem Yira. Yiroz, Pnei, Kozofas, Pnei Ha'odin Hashem. We would come to the three of God to seek Yigach Hashem. And they would open up, can you imagine, they would open up and show, and the Kahan would stand there and show, Jews would come and see the crew of them facing each other like the two Yonim, and would say, Ruchi Baskim was the Amokim, Ruchi Baskim was the Amokim. Look how much Hashem's Baruch loves you. Like the crew of them who can't take their eyes off each other. That's Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a place where you see things the right way. Yerushalayim is not interested in Jews who don't see things the right way. That's what happened with the Meraglim. That's why we still don't have Yerushalayim. That's why the Har Bayis is still covered with the filth of the Yishmaelim. Because we don't see each other the right way. We're still a little bit Meraglim. You understand? It's still not suitable such a thing. Yerushalayim means to seek things in a clear way, in a perfect way. So what's the vision of the end of time? So in Kapitel Samach, Kumi Oiri Kiva Oirech Rabbi Yeshaya tells us, arise, shine, Your light has arrived. Kiva Oyrim. Achvayt Hashem Alay Yisar. Kihina Choshech Yichaser. You know there's darkness that covers the earth, and a thick cloud that covers the nations of the world. But you, Yushalayim, listen. This is going to happen now, Mitzvah Hashem, very soon. Listen. Si'i Savivei'nai Uri'i. Lift up your eyes all around and see. Hashem says to Yushalayim, Yushalayim's head is down, and Yushalayim's eyes are closed, and Yushalayim can't see, and Hashem takes Yushalayim and lifts up her face and says to Yushalayim, Si'i Savivei'nai Uri'i. Lift up your eyes around and see. Kulam nikbetsu bo'olach. Look, they're all assembling and coming to you. Look, they're all coming back to you. All your children are coming back to you. See, Sarib and Ayatollah Ri'i. Your children are coming back with fresh eyes, with a new way of seeing, a new way of looking. But Nayat Mirachok Yavo. Your sons arriving from far away. And your daughters will be raised at their side, next to them. And then the Nabi goes on and says an amazing thing. Mi Eila, Yushalayim is shocked. The day has come for her children to come home. So Yushalayim says, Mi'ela, who are these? Ka'ov to Ufena, who are flying here like a cloud. V'chayonim el arubosea. Like doves, like pigeons, returning to their coat windows, to the place where they come from. V'chayonim el arubosea. Now you understand why Yushalayim is going to see the return of her children, Kayonim and Arubosea. Because Yushalayim knows that for thousands of years, Jews have been stretching their necks out to be killed on Kiddush Hashem. And Jews, even though we can't see the one who is so hidden and seems to have disappeared from our lives, who we beg that despite that, we haven't stopped waiting for him. We don't stop believing him. We don't stop serving him. We stay with him. See, Yushalayim is waiting for us to return. Kayoyim al arvaseh. That day is come. That day is come. Since I told you a Torah from the Bab Shur discussion, I'll tell you a little story, a tiny little story. I'll tell you first. You still have a few more minutes. I've got 10 minutes here. Right over here, this is a timeless place. I'll tell you first a personal story that I told in shul last year for the first time. And then I'll tell you something that I just saw. They're both about the Lubav Shavi's eyes. Most of you here are too young to have ever seen those eyes in person. I was there many times. I never saw eyes like that in my life. I never saw my life. There was a Yid that wrote to have the Lubavitch Rebbe's eyes. He said, you know, when you go to the Tzaddikim, you walk away feeling in awe of the Tzaddik. When you would go away from the Lubavitch Rebbe, you would feel that too, but you would also feel you were in awe of yourself. You understand that? That's how he saw you. Those eyes. So I'll tell you a personal story. Many years ago, this is around 42, 43 years ago. I couldn't decide what I was going to do with my life. My mother, more than anybody, wanted me to be an attorney, to be a lawyer. In those days, if you didn't want to be a doctor, that was one of the few other choices that were available. Now you can be like a camp director. That's all kinds of stuff you can do nowadays. But in those days, you really didn't have too many choices. Chinuch was not yet like a big... There weren't so many kids around in those days. And I couldn't decide because I had this juke in my head that I wanted to stay learning and teach Torah. I grew up hearing so many talks from my parents about how you have to have a normal profession and make a living because the world is terrible and they're gonna, and you have to save up money before the Germans come and take you away. So I couldn't make up my mind what to do. And I was ready for going to law school after the summer start. So I was sitting one Sunday morning and I was going to shul. So I decided I was going to go to Crown Heights. And you couldn't meet the Rebbe anymore in those days when I won. And it wasn't even like he was giving out dawahs that Sunday. Or like a kid used to give on Shabbat or Kippur. I just wanted to see him, and I was doubting that somehow he would help me. So I found out that the Rebbe, I guess, once a good time, is there a time that you could see him. So a friend of mine told me, come at 2:00, but don't be a second late, because you can set your watch on the Lubavitcher. Come at 2:00, that's when the Rebbe is going to come down for a minute, and he's going to be going to the aisle. So he's going to walk down the steps, you know, by 770, he's going to come down that path. And he gets into the car. But you could see him for 10 seconds. So I got there around the quarter to 10 to 2. There was like one or two people there, and I thought, this is pretty good. I'm going to try to even, maybe get his attention or something. I don't know what to do. But then like at 1 minute to two, all of a sudden, they were right, really, like 800, 900 people. I don't even know where they came from. I didn't see where they were coming from. But all of a sudden, there were all these people pushing, shoving to get by the sides of the path, right? And I was pushed behind some big guy, some big chassid, grabbed me, pushed me, helped me to get. He saw that I wasn't one of the janitor, and he was pushing me to get to the front of the line. Anyway, exactly at 2:00, the Rebbe comes down, and he walked very fast. He was holding a bag with a kittel. He was going to the car. The car door was already open. He walked down and he was looking and nodding at me, getting shoulder like this, with his eyes. I just wanted to catch his eyes. I couldn't. It was just too much pushing and shoving, it didn't work out. And then the Rebbe went into the car. It was Rabbi Grohman was there, and he held the door open. The Rebbe went in part way into the car, then he came out from the car. And he walked over back to the line. Everybody was surprised. He walked over right to me. And he looked at me in the eyes and he went like this. With a big smile. Which my mother understood then, law school. I still ask her for forgiveness. That's not what it meant to me or to my father. Ever since then, whenever I feel that I can't go on, for different reasons, it's hard. I close my eyes and I see the Rebbe's eyes and I look at his face. Without a word, just the eyes. So 2 weeks ago, there was an article that was written by a very, very wonderful Jew that described what happened when he was online to get a dollar from the Rebbe. And he said that there were people in front of him who were not religious. A family that wasn't religious. You know how it would go there. It was for hours and hours, thousands of people, all different types. Not everybody was even Jewish. All people were standing in line to get a dollar. So there was a big line, and this chassid said that in front of him, there was a family that wasn't religious, but an adorable little girl. She looked like she was 5 years old. Since this article came out, so they found the film of this. Somebody sent it to me. I told the story. The little girl just screamed out, "Baba Cherenga, I love you!" Right there, like this. 6 inches away from her. "Baba Cherenga, I love you!" So the boy, every day, got like a little uncomfortable, you know? He's a big Saudi, he's a big rabbi. Don't talk that way every day, you know? But the rabbi gave the biggest, sweetest smile. You see it happening. And he said, "Thank you." And gave her a dollar. And they started to walk away, and the rabbi said, motioned him, he gave her another dollar. He said, "And this is for your love. This is for your love." So, Chevra, over here, I want to tell you what I believe. When Mashiach comes, we're going to line up to get a bracha from him, to get a shekel, a dollar, I don't know what's going to be back at that time, a credit, I don't know how it's going to work. We're going to line up. Everybody's going to go quickly because there's going to be so many Jews lined up in Yerushalayim going past Mashiach, each one. Just to make for a second eye contact for a second, to see Mashiach's eyes. So the chevra here from Hans, including all those who look over you and guide you, who lead you, all of you are going to take the matveya from Mashiach's hand, and you can keep on walking because the Gabbai will say, let's go, move. And then Mashiach comes and they call you back and say, "This is another one for your love. For your love. That you gave to Hashem's Rosh Hashanah. For your love. Hashem's Rosh should show his love to each and every one of you. And to all of us. That we should deserve and ask to talk about this, but to see it with our eyes. So that time will come. If your eye and behind you, the Shuv Hashem, see you. Bless our meetings and give me all the time."